Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
We are embarking on a new topic for Sunday night, and that has to do with the fact that we have family members, we have friends, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that have, in some way or another, fallen away. They chose, whether it was like demons that Paul spoke about, chose this world, chose the pleasantries of this world over Christ, over God, or whether it was something else that simply push them away, whatever it was that affected them, to make them make that choice. And I know that I'm not alone, that there are many of you sitting here in this audience that have family members, friends, loved ones that have chosen to not be in the church anymore. And whether it was they chosen to go to a denomination somewhere, or whether it is a complete and utter choice to not believe in God anymore. We've been through that. We've seen that. I have close siblings that have made that choice. And one of the things I'm going to ask of you is, for those of you that have, whether it's a son, a daughter, a parent, a brother, a sister, a loved one that has fallen away, if you can help me out by sending me an email or a note of some kind, letting me know some of the things you've tried, some of the things that you've done along the way to help bring them back, to help point them in the right direction. Now, I know it's ultimately going to be their choice. We can't make their mind up for them, no matter how much we want to, right? But if you can help me by saying, hey, these are some of the things that I've done to help these people in my life, please email me, send me a note about those things, because I will share it on a Sunday night. These are some things others have tried to help bring their loved ones back to God, back to the church. But I want to start off this evening with the fact that while we have an emotional investment in our relationship with them, whether it's a very close loved one, think about their relationship with God for just a moment. And I want you to turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea will be in chapter 11, and specifically verse 8. But in the book of Hosea, God pictures his relationship with Israel with the relationship of Hosea and his wife Gomer. And Gomer is a prostitute, is a harlot, and it is a roller coaster ride in their relationship. Hosea is doing everything he can to be faithful to her, to help her, to buy her back from slavery, doing all these things. And all the while, that's teaching the Israelites exactly how they've been with God. God has been just like Hosea, who is doing everything in his power to buy them back, to bring them back, to get them out of these positions of slavery, and yet they continue over and over again to reject him, to walk away from him, and how heart-wrenching that is. I have read stories, and I have heard about preachers and elders and people in these leadership positions that they left their wife of 25 years to be with a younger woman, and they left the church. And what that does, not only to the congregation there where they were, but even with their own family, where their children are thinking, was this all a lie? Right? Was my upbringing all a lie? The family devotionals, the prayers before meals, all these things that we did, the service projects, the times we went to church, and the times we went with the teen group to go and do all these things, and yet, was it all just a farce? Because of, obviously, Dad didn't believe it, or His mom didn't believe it. And they, in turn, fall away because of their emotional attachment to their family members, to their parents, to their brothers and sisters. And it's a heart-wrenching deal. And I know people who have gone through that, who have fallen away because of someone else's lack of faith. And that's hard. And here, in God's relationship, think about everything He's done for Israel up to this point. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1 of chapter 11. He said, "When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baal and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. And I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria will be their king, because they refused to return to me." So you see that God is calling out and casting out a judgment, that they will be sent back into a captivity under Assyrian rule. But notice verse 8. Because this is the love that God has for Israel. Verse 8, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel?" How can I do that? The love that He has for them is so great. The love that He has for you and everything He's done for you is so great. Not only that, but the people that you know in your life that have fallen away, His love for them is great. He wants them back. He desires them to be back. And I know that you do as well. As you look at those family members and those friends, you want them back in the church. You want them not only back here with you, but back here with God. To have that relationship restored. That's exactly the same thing God wants. There's a reason why He said He is long-suffering. He wants that relationship. And when that relationship is severed, how great is the hurt is, right? When we have that love for a child, that love for a spouse, and they choose to walk away, how hurtful that is. The same is true when they walk away from God. So our goal as we go through this study on Sunday night is, how can we help restore? How can we help bring them back? So we'll go through a series of lessons on this. But first tonight, I want to focus on the fact that you yourself have to be faithful. If you are not faithful, what are you going to do to help bring them back? That's the starting point. It's, where is your faith? What are you doing in your life, in your faithfulness with God, that they can see? Because they might have left, but I guarantee you they're still looking at you. They still pay attention on Facebook. They still pay attention to what's going on. If you send a note around Christmas time, send out a picture and happenings of the previous year, they're reading through it. They're paying attention. They want to know what's up, what's going on with you. And when you include the facts of the things that you've been doing with the church, when you include the facts of things that you've been doing with your family and your relationship with God, those things matter to you. And they do strike a chord. It reminds them of what they've left, what they've given up. Seeing your faithfulness, while at times it can be, sometimes they can feel judged by the fact that you're faithful. That's not necessarily a bad thing. To feel that guilt and to understand that they need to get back in the right. in the right relationship with God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're not going to verse 25, but to a few verses before that. Hebrews chapter 10. And notice this faithfulness that he calls for. He says, starting in verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." As you look at that, the Hebrew writer is trying to get them and to get us today to understand, you have a confidence in your faith and your relationship with God that you should not be wavering. You should be holding fast. You should be holding on to that anchor that is Christ and moving forward with him in your relationship with God. I want you to understand, though, that we do have an adversary. We do have an enemy that is working on us more so than he is working on those that have already fallen away, because he has been already. I want you to notice, I'm going to read through these rather quickly, but I'll give you the reference, the scripture reference, the actions on the part of Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says that he takes advantage of us by using devices. He is focused on the faithful Christian. He wants to tear us away from God, and he will use whatever devices he can to do that. It doesn't mean technology, but yes, it does mean technology. He'll use anything and everything he can to get a hold of it. It says that he tempts married couples in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. That he hinders the work of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he blinds us to the truth. We know that he is a liar, that he is deceptive, and he does his best to blind us to the truth. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, he disguises himself as an angel of light to look like he's there to help. Instead, he's there to deceive. John chapter 8, verse 44, he lies, he's the father of lies. And in Revelation 12, verse 9, he deceives the whole world. Satan is actively seeking you, the faithful. Because he knows if he can get you, then your sphere of influence as a Christian is no more. You can no longer be helping others come to Christ, come to God, and say, you're most likely, in your lack of faithfulness, helping bring others down with you. Have you noticed that? When you see someone who is strong, who seems like they are so faithful and so strong in the Lord, and yet they falter, they fail, they fall from whatever pedestal we may have put them on, and that's our fault if we've done that. Our connection needs to be to Christ all the way. But when we see faithful brothers and faithful sisters fall away, that seems like they had it all together, and yet they fall. It hurts us. And Satan can use that to try and pull us down with him. So we need to first and foremost be those who are faithful ourselves. Focus on being the spiritual. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Those two verses are a challenge to be those who are spiritual. The ones that are focused on doing things the way God wants them to be done. Not only so that we're doing things right in God's eyes, but so that we can do what He's asking for here. He says, you who are spiritual, help to restore these people. He says, in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too do not fall. God understands the fact that we need to help others, that we need to help our brothers and sisters when they are faltering, when they are flailing, when they've run into a storm and it is just tearing the boat apart and they're looking to dive out. And we need to be there to help hold it together and help pitch the water out of the boat and keep them moving in the right direction. He says, be careful yourself, lest you fall too. And so I believe the first step in all of this is we need to be strong. We need to have assurance. We need to be faithful. They need to understand that whatever relationship we may have now, if they've fallen away from the church, from God, I'm still going to be faithful to God, no matter what. They need to be able to see that and understand that I'm not going to follow them down the same path, but that I'm always there, wanting to bring them back, wanting to help them in whatever way that I can. And it doesn't mean that every conversation we have has to be about them coming back to the church. It means that in any way that I can help, I'll be that brother, spiritually trying to help them. Even if it's coming to take care of the weeds or the bushes, having that casual conversation. We don't recognize how important those things are. Just doing some of the physical things, helping people, that helps affect people spiritually. Jesus, all it took was Him talking about some water with a woman at the well. She came to get physical water, He asked for some water as well, but then He moved on to spiritual water. Everlasting water, where you won't ever thirst again. He don't do that starting from something good. We need to be faithful ourselves. We're going to have the impact we want to have with our friends and families and loved ones that are following us. Again, I'm going to ask you, if you have tried anything, if there are scriptures specifically that you have turned to for comfort, for strength, for courage, in helping you to approach your children or your loved ones or your parents or your siblings, let me know what those are. Because guess what? I don't have it all figured yet. And I want to be someone who helps my sister, my brothers, come back to God. I want you to understand that when we see somebody fall away, and you've heard stories, right? Where, for instance, one that I've heard, where a child was lost. The child was killed in a shooting at a school. And the parents fell away from the church. They were once really active, really strong, and the loss of their child, their faith altered and they fell away. And it's easy to say, I understand. We can say, I see how that would affect them. Or how someone's tried to make things right in their life and there were people at the congregation that just didn't say the best thing to them. And instead continue to judge them, continue to attack them for things that they've already asked forgiveness for. And that you say, I guess I can see how that would happen and how that would affect their soul and their faith and they would fall away. It's easy for us to just say, I see, I understand. But while we might see and we might understand how that could be the case, we still need to be striving to help bring them back as best we can, to help them understand that guess what? Christians are not perfect, right? We strive to live faithful. We strive to do what's right, but that doesn't mean we always say the right thing. It doesn't mean we always do the right thing. So don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in her or in him. Put your faith in God, in Christ. That's the foundation. Hold firm to that, and you can be the one who is spiritual here in Galatians chapter 2, who is able to help bring someone out of those trespasses, who has been caught, who has been snared. You can be there, pray for them, and have that impact and that influence. This evening, I know that these lessons are going to be of a different sort, not necessarily focused on an invitation to obey the gospel. But if you are here tonight, and you're ready to put your faith in Jesus, you're ready to make that commitment, the invitation is always on, is always open. As we started in the beginning, God's love is for you. He sent his son for you. He wants you back with him. If you're ready to grab hold of that love and to be faithful, give your life over to him. The invitation is for you while we stand. While we stand.